Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Predators puck drop isn't until 8:30 tonight, a nationally televised game on TNT against the Colorado Avalanche. But Barry Trotz is still here at 5 o'clock for his weekly chat. Hi, Barry. How are you?
I'm good.
Glad to have you here as always. So let's start. I want to ask you about a report I saw over the weekend. Our friend Elliot Freeman, who joins our program every week, he reported on Hockey Night in Canada that the New Jersey Devils, among other players, have their eyes on Ryan O'Reilly and Steven Stamkos. I know you have a relationship with Tom Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. Have the two of you discussed either of those players?
I will say that's between me and Tom, if we did. But I am, it's my job right now to listen to everything. If someone comes to me regarding Steven Stamkos, I'm going to listen. Doesn't mean that Steven's going to be moved. Obviously, he's got protection. But I think there's everybody at this time, every team in the league is calling around, would you move this? Would you move that? Would you move this? I'm listening, and I said, what would you give for that? And I'm just taking as many calls as I can and trying to get values on what's out there, because that'll be a really important aspect going forward. You know, you're not going to make a deal or ask a player to move no trade or no movement clause unless it's something that has some substance to it.
I'll honor the privacy between you and Tom Fitzgerald, but would you dispute the report from Saturday?
No, I think I'm getting calls on Steven by a few teams. Mm-hmm. There's no question, but he controls that at this point. So all I do is listen, and that's it.
A more general question. Friedman also said that the Devils, not necessarily with the players we just discussed, but any moves that the Devils might make, they would need to move out money in order to make those trades. So a general question. How willing are you to take on bad contracts and potential trades if it means improving the return?
Absolutely, we're open-minded to that. I think you have to be. Depends on how bad the contracts are and the length of the contracts. That's, mm-hmm. that's really what it comes down to. I think you're asking me questions that I can dispute, but at the same time, you have to listen to everything. So, as I said last week, it's everything's on the table. It has to be. We're not in a spot where we could say no. We're in a spot where we have to listen. We're going to assess and analyze what the returns are and what we need to go going forward. What we need to do and what assets we're going to need to hang on to and what assets we can maybe capitalize on at this time.
So one thing that you are not allowed to do is you are not allowed to do a double salary retention trade, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So how much does the fact that you can no longer do that complicate things? Steven Stamkos, for example, would be a prime candidate for that had that still been allowed, because he does carry an $8 million cap hit. So the fact that you can't send him to Team B, who retains part of his salary, and then sends him to Team C, how does that complicate things for you generally?
Well, that's where the combination of going forward on what a team might want to give back. It's either we have two options. We have retention or we have taking a salary back. So it complicates it a little bit. But at the same time, if you got the right partner and the fit is right, it's going to happen.
Let me ask you about Stamkos and O'Reilly on the ice. They've been on a line lately with Luke Evangelista, and it seems that that line has elevated the games of all three players. Why has that been a successful mix?
Well, I think, on every good line, there's a playmaker, and it's driven. I think Ryan O'Reilly drives a lot out of the offensive stuff. He's very intelligent. He's got a great stick. He sees the ice pretty well. You got a finisher in Stammer, and he can still pass the puck, and he still makes some plays. And I just think with Luke and Ryan have had something good. It's helped Luke's development this year. I think Luke's played much better after probably the first 10 games. He sort of caught up to the rest of the group, And there's a playmaker on there. There's a guy that's got dog in him, you know, in O'Reilly. And then you got a real good, smart, you know, future Hall of Famer in Steven Stamkos to finish. So it's got all the elements for a good line when they're all working, and they're all working.
We're talking to Barry Trotz, Predators general manager. They play tonight against the Colorado Avalanche. And, Barry, we've seen now a couple of nice moments for Reed Schaefer and Matt Wood. Wood had a really nice goal, you know, through the legs there. You know, the game was a little out of hand, but you see the what he can do a little bit. Reed Schaefer, we've gotten a little feel for his game. What are your impressions of what you like and what needs to be the next step for them?
Well, I think in Woody's case, you see the hands. You see what our scouts saw in him, the ability to get into the interior, the ability to get, you know, that shot off, ability to make plays in tight quarters. Ability to come off the walls, really good sort of poise and deception. Just like any young player who's got some size to him, you know, he worked really hard in the skating. His skating has come miles in just one summer. Not that he wasn't working on it before, but he really doubled down this year, and he did everything to really improve that. So the sort of continuation of being able to continue to get quicker, continue to be more powerful, get more of that man strength, and then he'll get more productive, even more so than he is right now. So, and then also getting used to the grind of the NHL. I mean, this is the, you know, sort of the quarter pole or just out past the quarter pole, and he's, you know, probably played, you know, half a season of college already. So college is, the great thing about college is that there's separation. You get time, you play Friday, Saturday night, Sunday's probably off, and then you sort of work your way to the next weekend. In the National Hockey League, you're playing every 48 hours.
Yeah. Especially this year, right,
yeah,
with the compressed schedule.
This year.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily physically, and it is physically a hard for players, but mentally. Like, it is, you know, we call it Groundhog Day, and you live it. You travel with us, Willie, and you're playing, you show up. We have practice, they get on the plane, we travel, and do the same thing the next day in another city. So I think that's, as the season goes on, you'll see if Matthew can thrive on it or it gets to you a little bit. Because it is a...
You've seen both over the years,
I've seen
sure.
both. I've seen both. I've seen a young player really, really thrive. And, you know, I think I said last year, we were talking about Svechkov. You know, the biggest thing that he said is, you know, ooh, you know, and, you know Svech, he goes... Oh, every second day, that's really hard, you know.
Yeah. It's just in his own hard way. He's one of the more charismatic guys out there.
Yeah, it's really hard, and he was talking about it mentally, too, because you're up and then you're down, and then you got to get going again. Where, you know, when you're in the minors or playing in KHL, the games are separated a lot of times by 3, 4, 5 days between games. So you get a chance to, you know, exhale. In the National Hockey League, once you start, you don't have a chance to exhale. And that's why it's such an unforgiving league.
So we mentioned Schaefer as well. What do you see from him? You've been telling us about him. Now we've seen him for a couple weeks. What are you seeing so far from him? Because I've seen some moments where he's like, you know what, I'm 6'5". I actually can hit this guy. And then, of course, he sees what happens as a result. He gets the tension, but he's getting to some tough areas as well.
He does, and that's where Reed will have a great success in this league, is that he will, you know, he's got that nice combination. I mean, he's 6'4". He skates like a smaller man. He's powerful, but you tend to forget that he's still like the 20-year-old, and he still doesn't have that man strength. So he's going to get a bit faster. He's going to get a little stronger. He's going to get to know the league a little bit better. I mean, it's easy to say, unless you're wired really, really like Toots was, I mean, who's fearless, you sort of get to gauge the league a little bit, you know, which guy's a bluffer, which guy's really, really tough, which guy throws to the right or left if I draw attention. So he's got to learn the league a little bit. You saw it in the American Hockey League last year. You know, he came out his first year you know, he was not I wouldn't say tentative, but he was just feeling his way through it. And then all of a sudden he just took off and unfortunately got hurt and missed the season. But you could tell once he got that confidence, hey, I've been here, done that. I know this guy. I know what they're all about. Then you're going to see him have success. So Really happy having a big guy that can skate like that. I mean, we've got to continue to put emphasis on speed. We want skill and speed. We want our fans to be able to jump up all the time when we have a guy pull off a high skilled play and our execution's high and all that. So we're going to continue to draft a combination of speed, skill, size to have a really good format for, you know, what we want to do in the future.
The last couple of games have been very interesting. You had maybe one of the best wins of the year at Florida, where you had a desperate Florida team that had lost some games. You knew you were going to get their best game, and they found a way to win. Then really good team in Carolina that came out. They played really well. Both games involved a lot of penalties taken by the Predators. And I wanted to ask you about how you tried to handle that as a coach, because everybody says the same thing. Got to stay out of the box. Stay out of the box. Nobody wants to go out there and take six penalties. In one game, you overcame it, and the next game, it sunk you at the beginning of the game. So how does a coach work on that? What can a coach do to try to get a team out of a funk like that?
When you do that, there's different elements. Obviously, the coaches, now these days, the way contracts are and all that, you have only one thing is plain and simple is ice time. From a coaching standpoint, I always looked at it two ways. I looked at it as ice time. I looked at it as being a good teammate. So if a guy starts piling up penalties, I would start talking about what is a true good teammate. True good teammate doesn't take multiple penalties in the game. Doesn't take offensive zone penalties. True teammate doesn't do maybe this or that. Reason why is that the guys that you think you do something that is from lack of effort or just a little bit of carelessness, there's going to be times when there's the guy steps on your stick, you get a tripping call, and it's not intentional. But all the intentional stuff I really call out as being a good teammate, because the guy that's killing that penalty is probably going to have to block a shot at sometimes, so he's putting himself at risk. Those guys are paying for your sins, if you will, which is not good signs of a good teammate. Now, I can tell you all I'm around the room a lot, and we have good teammates, but we have this year at times gone in little segments of two or three games where not only do we take one penalty, we take like four or five in a row. Some are intentional, some aren't, but the combination in those games, be it an offensive zone penalty here, maybe not a great penalty. We take one because we put a puck over the glass. We take one on a holding because they're trying to make a play, or a guy's going around us, get a little bit of a holding call, and they just sort of mound on you, and you're playing shorthanded for 6-8 minutes, and that's happened to us too many. And we're not a good enough team to overcome that night in and night out. There's just no way.
So tonight, that would be a test.
Sure. especially
if Colorado. You look at Colorado's power play, it's pretty. Yeah.
What is Colorado? 21-1-6 or something.
Yeah. Two regulation losses.
And what's
so far
their
this
power
season.
Play is over 30%, I think, something like that. It's scary.
No, they're in a different league right now, and they're deep and they're fast and they've got a lot of veteran a lot of star power and a lot of veteran presence and. They're hitting it on all cylinders right now. There's no one in the league that's even close to them right now. I guess Dallas would be the closest, and they're playing at a different level, and they'd probably be right now the odds on favorite to be the Stanley Cup champions if you were betting today. But those are great tests. Those are tests for our team, the veteran group, also the young guys. I mean, when we were starting out, Willie, in the early days, that powerful Detroit team that you had to see six, seven times a year,
sometimes eight,
sometimes
a couple
eight.
Of those years,
and you're going, they're very capable of getting a dozen goals every night, and they made us better. We found ways to hang in games. Pekka Rinne had a lot to do with that, and but it made us better. That was the best development tool that this organization could have had in the early years. Was a great Detroit team, and then a really powerful Chicago team. So, this is another another eye-opening game for us, too, is you're playing a team that's just loaded.
Barry Trotz is with us. Barry, I've been wondering this. There is a banned phrase or word in the GM fraternity, rebuild. I've noticed that a lot of GMs don't like to use that word.
Yeah.
You've used blend to describe what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
You've used transition. So why do GMs not like to use that word? And is there a difference in your mind between a transition slash blend and a rebuild?
Yeah, I think there is. There's different forms. And I think, you know, it's easy just to use rebuild right across the board. I think teams are in different situations. Teams, you know, that have had a total rebuild, they've... you look back at, I want to say Chicago, like 7 or 8 years ago now. You know, they had a couple of young players. I think it was DeBrincat. And they saw that they were at a point where, you know what, we were going to go into full rebuild. And they moved on from DeBrincat, for instance. And they just sort of went right down to the studs.
I think they traded Panarin at that time as well.
And they burned it right down to the studs. And they collected as many picks as they could. I think they had three. Well, I know they had three top five picks in succession. They had 34 first-round picks over a span of those 3 years. It crop-dusted the whole first few rounds, the whole draft, and started that rebuild. There's teams that are in a little bit different situation where you've got, you know, some like us, we have some older players, but we've already started building a base. We've drafted some first round picks. You see Wood, you see Schaefer, you see Svechkov, LaRue, hopefully in a couple of weeks here. So there's people coming already. We drafted Brady Martin, our first top five pick. And so those teams were able to get to the point where they're going to be, you look at Chicago right now, they'll be a powerhouse in a couple of years. A good example would be San Jose. They had Hurdle and all that. They actually really didn't start their rebuild till really 2-3 years ago. But they did get three top picks already. And so now you see them starting to go that way. And those are probably rebuilds. One was right down to the studs. And the other one was, we had to peel off some guys. And it's sort of where we are. We're probably very, very similar. We've got some older guys, but we've got some young guys coming. But the difference is San Jose didn't have a base that we do already. So if we continue down this road and we don't get to where we want to get to this year, then they will have to do the hard things and move some people out and sort of get more draft choices and more picks and keep building that base so that we can be that the team that's can say, hey, we got lots of young players, we got lots of assets, we got lots in the toolbox, and we just got to wait and give them time. And it'll be exceptional. It'll be a little bit of pain because there is a growing pain that you go through in this league, but on the other end, you're going to be in a good spot for 10 years. Like Chicago's going to be in a good spot for the next 10 years. They have to go through a lot of the pain the last few years. So that's the cycle that you have in the National Hockey League. You look at the teams that are in the Stanley Cup playoffs right now, or last couple of years. Edmonton got the three, McDavid.
Took them a while. Yeah.
Yeah, it took them a while, but they got top number one picks, 2-3 in a number of years in a row.
And they even missed on a couple of them. Got it. Yeah.
But they're in the Cup finals now. You look at teams.
Colorado was an example of that.
Exactly.
Yep.
So you need to, collect some of those high picks because you don't get Nathan MacKinnon by picking 23rd. You get Nathan MacKinnon if you're picking one or two. And I remember that draft. It was MacKinnon, Barkov, Drouin, and Jones, and we got Jones at four. And you think about this, the great thing about this franchise is, I think it's 26, 27 years. How many top five picks has this franchise had? We had David Leguan, Seth Jones.
And now Brady Martin.
Brady Martin.
That's it.
In 26 years. That's pretty good for a franchise. what we did, and I was probably a part of it. David Poyle was a part of it. We did too good of a job in the early years. We did.
Yeah.
Because, you know, second year in the league, we're drafting seventh and eighth, where we should have probably been one or two. But that's how competitive this organization is.
But there's a benefit to that, right, that you would say, right?
Yeah.
That you learned, you built the foundation of how you wanted to play, the culture. That's the trade-off, right?
Yeah, absolutely, the trade-off. And really, I look back at, the 26 years, and you could go one way or the other. I don't think this market, this franchise was ready for the first pick overall right away, because the early years were lean, and we had to try to be as entertaining and as competitive as we could early and quickly, because the early years, this wasn't a hockey market. This is a terrific hockey market now. So I think people understand it. Back then, they didn't understand the game that well. I remember them standing for the whole first game, just like football or basketball, and never sat down. And, I remember Terry Crisp, or the announcer, going, "That was icing." icing is when, so we've come a long way. So, for our franchise, that's a real feather in your cap that you had to do it the hard way. I remember we didn't have much we were a new franchise. Things were a little lean in the early years that we didn't have I remember going in the first playoff series, and Detroit had their payroll was $72 million. Ours was 13, and we're going to play them in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we got some kids. I remember the early lean years where I would put David Gosselin and Peter Sikora, guys that had played in Milwaukee, played a few games in Nashville on the ice, and Detroit would counter with Fedorov, Yzerman, Shanahan, Lidstrom, and we're lining up, and they're going, they're just feasting on us, and our young guys learned to survive. Our young guys, we learned to play a little different style. That's the reason it's called Smashville, is that we said, we're not as skilled as you, but we're going to run you over a few times, and we'll knock down some of that level of skill. We're going to have to do it on work ethic. We're going to have to do it on different things. So we learned to adapt, just like we're learning to adapt now. We tried to do a little bit of the blend, thinking, I can get us to buy some time for our young kids. In some ways we have, but I thought we'd be a little bit higher up the standings than we were last year. And, the plan hasn't really changed. We are going to continue to get young kids, develop them, and build a really good team here. That can win for a long time. So that plan hasn't changed. It's just sometimes it seems like it gets clouded over a little bit by wins and losses and all the other rumors. Steven Stamkos going to get traded or this. There's so much out there. I talked to the group. I said, there's so much noise, guys, and all of it's not true, and all of it's true. Because, someone asked me about Steven Stamkos, would you move him? Yeah, for the right price, yeah. That would be the answer from 32 other general managers, 31 other general managers for sure. You got to listen, and if there's something that may have some substance, then you're going to act upon it. But so many rumors, Ryan O'Reilly, Stamkos, Marchessault, we just go through our whole team. I mean, it's yes to everything, because it's my job to listen. And if something makes sense, then we'll act upon it. And other than that, you guys do a good job coming up with all the good stuff and all the rumors. And I had people telling me how our like I said, how our room is or how it isn't, and about my coach and about me or whatever. Those are all, I get it. Everybody has their opinion. But we have to stay steadfast on having a good plan and continuity to stay with it, even if there is some pain. So I appreciate what you guys do all the time. I appreciate the fans, because this game is not always always about the wins and losses. It's about the other stuff in the game, and that's building something. We want to build something great here, And there's going to be some times when it's not going to go as smooth. And we understand that. And that's where I come in. I got big shoulders, as you know. I can take it. So we're just going to continue down that path.
Barry Trotz has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Tuesday during hockey season. Barry, as always, a pleasure to catch up with you. Enjoy the later start tonight. Good luck.
Yeah, I'm going to have my pajamas on up in the booth. Yeah, it's going to be it's a little bit later. That's obviously the blessing and the curse of the Central Time Zone. This
yes.
is what you get sometimes. So I don't mind this because we're going to have to be on these times when we start making the playoffs.
That's right. You get those 8:30s.
We'll train the young guys to do that. So, all right.
Thank you, Barry. 615-737-1025. We will react to what Barry Trotz had to say coming up next. 615-737-1025. Also, I want to give a quick shout-out to Reddit user Rene Fervezina, who transcribes our interviews with Trotz and claims not to like me. Good luck transcribing that final answer from Barry Trotz. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.